Hello and welcome to another exciting, life-changing message. Pastor Jim Freese, founder and senior pastor of Joy Church International and founder and president of World Changers Bible Institute, has dedicated his life to studying the Word of God and training leaders to be true world changers in these last days. At the end of the message, I'll be back to tell you how to contact us. But in the meantime, please grab your Bible if you can and allow God's Word to change you so you can become a world changer for Jesus Christ.
Communication. Now, this is so important because this is a huge one in marriage. This is one that people don't do, particularly people that have been married for any length of time. They just forget how to communicate. This is imperative that we have communication. Now, to be honest with you, this is a real strength of mine and is a real strength of this ministry. We are good communicators. And for a male, I am a very good at communicating. I'm not saying that in a braggadocious way. I am saying that it can be learned, because I was not always a good communicator. I was like most men, you know, kind of grunt. You know what I mean? You take your club and And so you can learn to communicate. It is a learned behavior. It does not come too difficult to women normally, but it does come a little bit difficult to men at many times. So let's learn to communicate a little bit, men. All right? You with me on that? Now, what I'm not talking about is verbal diarrhea. Do you understand what I mean? Verbal diarrhea is when you have explosions of the mouth. And you make a mess everywhere you go. Oh, you're all too holy to talk about that. All right, praise God. Hey, how many know there's a difference between being religious and holy? Religion has to do with rules and regulations. Holiness has to do with the whole intimate relationship with God, and it has nothing to do with saying the word, listen, diarrhea. Somebody just pass out with diarrhea. Oh, well. Amen. Are you with me on that? So we're not talking about verbal diarrhea. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:19, where many words, sin is not absent. So we're not just talking about talking to talk, but we are talking about talking to communicate, which is a big difference. Isn't that right? Okay, so we're communicating. Let's talk about this. Now, as we walk into this realm, we have to understand the difference between males and females. So let's talk about that. There was a book out, what was the name of it? Women are from Venus and men are from Mars. So let's talk a little bit. Let's talk. Can we talk? Yeah. All right, good. Under the communication section, that's a good thing, right? So males and females are a little bit different. Not only are they different anatomically, but they are also different psychologically, if you will. So let's talk about that. Men, physically, we can only think out of one side of our brain, and that's the right side. That is the logical side. Now, that is a physiological fact. So, you know, ladies, you have an advantage. You can think out of both sides of your brain. That's all right, isn't it? Yeah. Ladies, you should be happy about that. Men, we walk into this thing in a disadvantaged way because we can only think out of one side. But, you know, we can beat you with one brain tied behind our back. All right. That was just for the men. I made the men mad at me earlier, so I want to get back in their good graces. All right, praise God. Now I got the ladies mad at me. All right. Well, at least I'm an equal opportunity to get mad at me guy, right? Alright. So now men, we can think out of our right side. That's the logical side. Primarily, ladies, you think out of your left side, although you can think out of both physiologically. But primarily, you think out of the left side. That is the intuitive or emotional side. So right there, going into the game, we have to understand that we're two different creations. Amen. But see, God made us that way for a reason. He didn't make us that way for conflict. He made us that way to provide a balancing effect in our lives. Men, primarily, because we are logical. You know, to me, it's just illogical stuff just bothers me. I'm just like Spock. You know what I mean? I want you to live long and prosper, and I just want everything to be logical. You know, that's it. I just think, you know what I'm talking about there? I just have to have illogic. That's why I like Judge Judy. She's the only really logical woman that I know. Just ba 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 ba, and then she says shah. You know what I'm talking about? Just shah thing. You know what I'm talking about? And so, yeah, I'm a preacher, but I'm also getting my lawyer's license on the side by watching Judge Judy. Amen. Praise God. And I like that, you know, to me, and ladies, if you have a hard time with logic, maybe watch a few episodes. It couldn't hurt. I'm playing with you. All right. Praise God. Just giving you an assignment. That's on the honor system. You don't have to do that, okay? All right. So we have to understand that we are logical creatures, but ladies, you are intuitive or emotional creatures, and thank God for both of those things. Amen. Now, just so that we understand, the primary difficulty that you and I will face as males will be pride, because we are logical creatures. There are times where we are so logical that we will actually get involved in pride. Amen. That was really the deal with Adam. You know, Eve allowed her intuitive side to carry her away, but Adam kept blaming everybody out of pride. It's this woman, there's one blame, that you gave me, there's the other blame. And that's pride. You understand that? That's all that is. We have, you know, it's amazing with men and women. If you have like, say you have like a men's conference or something, you know, and so, it takes us, Harvey, you know, 10 people raised from the dead, 47 prophecies, 42 worship songs before we might just say, I love you, man. You know, at a men's conference. But ladies, you all be crying in the parking lot. Now, what I'm trying to say is there's not one that's bad and one that's good. They're both good, but they're different. And so we have to understand the differences before we're ever going to get along. Isn't that right? Now, let's talk about that. Ladies, since you are of the intuitive side and the emotional side, thank God for emotions. God gave them to you. The key is you just cannot let those emotions run or rule you. You can't let those emotions impair your decision-making process. Same thing with us men. We cannot let our logic impair our decision-making process. Meaning there are many times when God, He will move, if you will, in illogical ways. What I mean by that? He says, all right, you want to go to the top, you got to serve. Well, that's illogical to the mind. If you want to receive, you have to give. Well, that's illogical to the mind. And so men, sometimes, that's why a lot of times we have trouble being spiritual leaders, because you ladies are of the intuitive side. You are more in touch with the spirit realm. That is easier to you to come by. However, the ditch also becomes this. Now I'm just going to be honest here. It's easy for you to get flaky. Seriously, you want to see most of the difficulties and problems as far as flaky in the church are mostly created by women. And I don't mean that mean. I just mean that experientially over 16 years of doing this. Now, why is that important? Now, men, we get in pride. A lot of times you ladies will hear from God quicker than we will. Amen. But a lot of times you ladies will hear from God so quick that it's a little bit off. And so you need a covering. And that's why it's important for you, if you're not married, if you're a single person, that you have a good local church where you attend and that can provide a covering for you. That you have a realm of authority structure that can provide a covering. And if you're married and maybe your husband is a spiritual weenie, it's also important for you to be involved in a good local church where there can be a good covering for you, a good protective figure that will help you not get off into excess. But again, let me say that the opposite side as well. Ladies, you help us stay out of pride, and we need each other. So can you see that? Amen. That's imperative. So I gave both balances to both sides, right? Now I want you to write this in, please. She is more nest and security oriented. She is more nest and security oriented. He is more accomplishment oriented. Here's some of the differences as we're walking into communication. We need to understand this. She is more nest and security oriented. He is more accomplishment oriented. Amen. Still working on sound check. She is more nest and security oriented. He is more accomplishment oriented. And that's really true. Let me have you write this in as well. Now, I want you to listen with mature ears. Can you do that?
Yeah.
All right. Her sexual response is more oriented to tender moments when she knows that she is deeply loved. Her sexual response is more oriented to tender moments when she knows she is deeply loved. His sexual response is more oriented to sight. And so right off the bat, we have some differences. Can you see that? Let me say that one more time. Her sexual response is more oriented to tender moments when she knows that she is deeply loved. His is more oriented to sight. And so we have to have some of these understandings, and that you... Guys, you all can handle this stuff, can you not? Whether you're single, you can handle this correctly. We have to teach these things and teach them. And if you read the book of the Song of Solomon, which God inspired, it's a whole lot more racy than what I just said. And it didn't say, well, you can't read this unless you're married. It's to everybody. So you can understand that, all right? So her sexual response is more oriented to tender moments when she knows she's deeply loved. His is more oriented to sight. Very important. Now, write this in. Women tend to care more about the home and everything in it. Women tend to care more about the home and everything in it. Women tend to care more about the home and everything in it. Men tend towards tranquility in the home. Women tend to care more about the home and everything in it. Men tend towards tranquility in the home. That's important. I know Ardina men and women, they just moved into a new house, and it's lovely. We give a big praise God for that. And I know, you know, Miss Paula, she's putting, decorating all the things and putting all the flowers and doing all this and, you know, and Mr. G, he just wants peace, man. You know, I just let, get the things out the box. Let's get it in a row so I can sit down and watch some trashy TV, you know. No, I'm teasing. And no way, that's a total joke. If you knew Mr. and Mrs. G, that's a total joke. But she's more concerned about the home and everything in it, and Mr. Goldner's more concerned about the peace in the home. That's the same with me and Miss Ann. That's not always, but that is primarily how it is. Now, let me say a word to the men and the women about peace in the home. It is an absolute priority. That you cannot put a price on that, guys. The Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 10, when you go into a home and you speak your peace to it, if it stays, that's a good place to stay. But if it returns to you, that's a good place to get out of. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1, where the Bible says, better to have little in a home with peace than a whole feast with strife. Meaning, that is not a poverty scripture, but what that is a peace scripture. It is a priority scripture as to what is really important in a house and in a home, and that's peace. And I would, with all of my heart, I would advise you men and women to set up a home that has peace in it. Because it needs to be a home and it needs to be a haven where if your man is out there working or whatever, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's been yelled at by the boss and yelled at by three sinners and on and on and on. It needs to be a place where your kids and you can come home to where there's peace. That's why, you know, there ought not be all the time something going on, i.e. media wise. Give it some time where there's just maybe some peaceful praise and worship music going on. You know, we're not the TV, you know, you know the TV is not your best companion. Could I have an amen? And so there needs to be a time where there's some peace and just some tranquility. And that is important, and that is imperative, no matter how big or small, whether it's an apartment or a house, let's set up a place of peace. That is imperative. Because see, what'll happen is if you don't have that, eventually you will begin to get psychologically or emotionally affected. And if you have that long enough, if you have dis-ease in your mind, eventually you'll have dis-ease in your body. It'll eventually affect your body. You need to have a place of peace. That's an imperative thing. Amen? Write this in. He is normally more accomplishment-oriented. She is normally more relationship-oriented. He is normally more accomplishment-oriented. She is normally more relationship-oriented. Well, those are big differences. You know, many times males are ego-driven, and ladies, you are more relationship-oriented. And none of those things are wrong. We just have to understand those differences. Now, obviously, an ego needs to be sanctified because an ego can turn into ambition real quick. And God is for advancement, but he's not into ambition. Remember, we're going to talk about that in the Philippians class today. All right. So again, he is normally more accomplishment oriented. She is normally more relationship oriented. So we need to have that understanding. Now, she, write this in, is typically more verbal and expresses her feelings easier. She is typically more verbal and expresses her feelings easier. She is typically more verbal and expresses her feelings easier. Isn't that right? Ladies, could I have an amen on that? That's really normally too. She is typically more verbal and expresses her feelings more easily. Now, let's talk about that for a little bit. That's an important difference in communication. Because since she is more verbal, let's just say it this way. Let's say that God gives, and we're just picking something out of a hat, but let's say God gives Angela here 50,000 words a day. All right, bang, I'm going to give you 50,000 words a day. Use them as you will. And God gives Dave over here 25,000 words in a day. Bang, here you go. Use them as you will. Because normally, he's going to talk a little less than her. Are you with me on that? They're feeling a little nervous right now, but you're with me, right? All right. Okay. And so here we've got 50,000 words and 25,000 words. And now let's say, just for illustration, it's not the case with them, but for illustration purpose, let's say she's at home. And she's at home, you know, with the kids. And so she's got Dave Jr. And this is maybe when they're little. Dave Jr. and Tim and Rachel. And, you know, remember they're 5, 6, what? And so now she's been running around. And maybe even when they're littler than that. And she's, you know, used to little words like, "Hey, Mom, how you doing? I have a dog." You know, whatever. You know, kids just say, they have their attention span is out of a net. They say something, bang, and then over here, bang, "I have a dog." You know what I'm talking about? It's like, what? You know, and they're talking about all kind of things, you know, the Ninja Turtles or whatever, and, you know, on and on and on. I watched little Steven the other day, and bless his heart, we were over at the house, and he was cutting strawberries. And so, you know, with like this big, what do you call those things? Those machetes. Like a bit, and I didn't feel like that was good. Did you? And then with the other hand, he was juggling hydrochloric acid. And so, we're not going to use them as an example in the parenting section. I'm just joking. They weren't doing either, all right? They weren't doing either. People look at me, "Well, that's not right. Why are they your dean of men and women?" Well, I don't know. It's a joke, okay? All right. And so I was watching, and he was cutting strawberries, you know, with a little knife. And he was so funny. He was trying to cut off, you know, the green tops, but he's cutting off about half the strawberry. You know, and hearing my logic, I'm going, man, the kid is really wasting here. Well, let's work with the kid. And so we've got all of these things going on, and Angela running around, and her, you know, her communication all day, her 50,000 words have been just kind of, you know, hey, you know, just kind of small, little, not saying a whole lot, nothing of really any depth, and on, you know, how many know it's, you know, discussing the Ninja Turtle is not a really deep thing. And now here you got Dave, and he's been out, you know, doing something in ministry, and he's used up 24,932 words, you know, dealing with all kind of nuts in ministry. You know, he's been counseling everybody and just counseling every nut in town. And so, and his conversation has been deep and stressful and on and on and on. Now, Dave comes home from a wonderful day at the office. And now Mom is ready to have some adult conversation. I'm really ready to stop talking about the Ninja Turtles. Michelangelo is fine, but you know, we can do something different than this. You know what I'm saying? The yellow Power Ranger is quite the guy, but we can move on, right? She's ready to talk and have some depth to it, but Dave has used up 24,972 words. And now all of a sudden he comes home and she's ready to emote and talk and have some depth of conversation, and he's ready to sit down and go, ugh. Are you with me? He's ready to take his caveman club, you know, hit someone over the head and sit down and, you know, carve a wheel out of some stone. Can I have an amen? Now, I'm obviously telling you some funny situation to make you laugh, or maybe is that how it really is? I don't know. I'm obviously telling you a funny situation, but I am also telling you a real true point here. In communication, we have to have that understanding walking into this, that number one, the lady is primarily more verbal and the male is primarily more accomplishment oriented. And in a situation that is setting like that, you can see some real potential for major conflict when the husband or the wife comes home. Amen. So we have to deal with these kind of thoughts. Now we have a couple over there. What's your last name again? Yes, the Youngs. That's right. Now they just got married a few months ago. So this is really good training for a couple that just got married. And this is really good training for really everybody in here. No matter how long you've been married, this is a good bone-up course if you understand these principles. Amen. You with me on this? So now, how are we going to do this? How are we going to bring some things together? I think this is real important. Number one, as we're going to modify some things here in communication, and this is really important, there needs to be a twofold balance. Ladies, when your husband gets home, give him initially a little bit of space. Let him sit down. Let him unwind. You know, don't get into real deep conversations right away. Don't ask him, how was your day? I mean, I'm not telling you, ignore him. But just give him a little space, give him a little time to unwind, and on, all right? Now, men, and here's the balance, get up off your lazy chair after about an hour of unwinding and go in there and give your wife what she needs. And that's a little adult conversation. That's a little depth of conversation. Are you with me on that? And there's a balance. Now, men, allow your wife to emote and verbalize. What I mean by that? Well,
You know what I'm talking about. You know, she's got an... What was the color of his eyes? Well, I don't know. I wasn't looking at the guy's eyes. Well, what was she wearing? I don't know. I have no idea what she was wearing. Well, do you remember way back when we got married, honey? And you wore a blue tie, and your hair was moved just a certain way, and you said three special words, you know, abracadabra, whatever. And honey, I have no idea what you're even talking about. I have no idea. I was too busy grunting.
Ugh.
And you know what I'm talking about? There's this real dichotomy as far as she has a need for verbalization and details. That's an imperative need of hers. Huh? And men, they have a need to get to the bottom line. Primarily. You know, let's cut to the chase. What's the bottom line? Now, I want us to bring both of these things together because they're both important. Men, you need to let your wife from time to time verbalize and emote and tell you about the green and the blue dress and the this and that and the other. Even though you could care less, just sit there, nod your head, and be interested. So we gotta let the ladies emote. We have to let them verbalize a little bit, and it's important that we do that. Now here's the balance. Ladies, a lot of times, and see that's part of their solution. Part of the lady's solution is that they need to express themselves. They need to get a few things out. They need to talk about it. That's part of their solution. But ladies, now here's the counterbalance. You have to allow your husband to get to the bottom line. Because the bottom line is the solution. And if we focus all on the problem and emote about the problem and never get to the bottom line, we never get to the solution. I remember when I was single, I was talking to a woman, and she asked me a question. She said, and it was a spiritual question. She said, "Well, so I need an answer here." And so she proceeded to tell me all about da 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 30 minutes about the problem. And so I said, "Okay, here's your answer." Bang, bang, bang. And I gave her the answer, and then she kept going back to the problem for another 10 minutes. And I said, "Didn't you hear my bang, bang, bang? I threw out the bang, bang, bang. That's the answer. No need going back to the problem. We gave you the bang, bang, bang." Now, this is when I didn't know as much about females, you see. I was single. I was a moron. Are you with me on that? But see, she needed to talk about the problem, but in this case, in actuality, she never wanted to get to the solution. So there is a balance. You have to, man, allow your lady to talk about things, and because part of her solution is the ability to emote about it, the ability to verbalize about some things. But ladies, you have to allow your husband to say, "All right, I understand that and I appreciate that and I took the time to listen, but let me talk to you a little bit about the answer." Amen. And get to the bottom line, because we do need a solution in this situation. See, can you see why we need each other? Yeah. Ladies, you help us stop and smell the roses, and men, we help you ladies trample some of them. You know, we don't need to stop and smell all the roses and sit here and camp out. Let's trample a few and move on. Could I have an amen? But in the same vein, it's important for us men to stop and smell a few roses. Because a rose, by any other name, is still a rose. Amen. Are you with me on that? So that's what we have to understand. So there's a balance. Ladies, we need you. And men, you need... or ladies, we need you. And you need us. How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Praise God. Amen. I got to the bottom line there, didn't I? Amen. That's important. And men, I do really highly encourage you to learn the art of communication. Because men, by and large, have no idea about how to communicate. And it is an important skill that can be learned. I was, at one time, 12, 15 years ago, not a very good communicator at all. Now that is one of our strengths here. And I would encourage you, men, you can learn the art of communication. And it's important art to learn. You got to quit being the strong and silent type. Now, and ladies, I'm gonna warn you. Can I warn you a little bit? If you're dating a strong and silent type, that may be attractive. You may think in terms of John Wayne or whatever right now. But I'm gonna tell you what it could lead to is major frustration after you get married. Now there's a time to be strong and silent. Ecclesiastes says, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7, there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. So there's time. We're not talking about just talking for the sake of talking. You ever hear someone like that? Like I said, verbal diary, religion. It's like, please. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about if you're a strong and silent type, man, and ladies, you be warned. Because if you marry somebody like that, you're going to want to talk, and they're still the strong and silent type. And while you're dating, John Wayne may look real good. But after a while, after about 15 years of ugh, you'd like to hear something other than that. So be wise. Now, ladies, if you're presently married to the strong and silent type, just pray to God that he'll listen. Could I have an amen? And if he's in here, particularly today. Now, if he's not in here, 1 Peter 3:1 tells us how to change his heart and mind is through your example, not through nagging. Amen. You gotta live this stuff in front of him. And then, because remember, his main problem is pride. Sometimes he'll have a difficult time receiving from you. So you got to live it in front of him. Are you with me on that? Amen. That's the truth. I hate to say that, but that's the truth. All right. Now, can I share with you, men, if you're a man, raise your hand. Can I share with you two ways how not to communicate with your wife? Can we do that? All right. Rob, can I have your assistance? Would you come up here and help me? For this first one, I won't need your help, but come on up here anyway. Now, here's the first way not to communicate with your wife. Are you ready? Notice why I have my hand. I have a remote control. So way number one and not to communicate with your wife is like this. Yeah. What? And now she's telling you, honey, do you mind if I take $1,600 out of the checking account and buy a new dress? That's fine. And then 2 weeks later, she comes to you and now you get the bill on the Visa or whatever, you know, and here's the $1,600 thing. Honey! And she says to you, you say, honey, I asked you about it, and you said, You were too busy flipping your flipper. So that's way number one on how not to communicate with your wife. Turn the doggone boob tube off and talk. Could I have an amen? Here's way number two, Rob. If you'll stand up here and hold my mic, I'd appreciate it. Everybody say way number two. Are you with me on that?
Amen.
So that's way number two. Everybody say way number two. Now, for those of you getting this by tape, I had a remote control, and the second example, I had a newspaper. So are you with me on that?
Yes.
When I first came up and had the newspaper, Margaret just falsely accused me. She said, oh, you're back there reading the newspaper, weren't you? Well, now you know different, Margaret, and shame on you for thinking such things. Could I have an amen? Margaret said, you're back there reading the newspaper. I was not, Margaret. It was for an example. Got her now. So those are two ways on how not to communicate. Remember to tell Ryan that, all right? All right, praise God. Are you with me on this? So I want to give you those two quick ones, and I see that all the time amongst males, and that's sure a pitiful way to communicate. Could I have an amen? Now, let me give you 15 characteristics, and we're not going to finish them tonight. 15 characteristics of communication in a Christian marriage. 15 characteristics of communication in a Christian marriage. Now, while I'm saying this as well, I do want you to understand this is also 15 ways of communication to build a mighty ministry. This will help in leadership and this will help in marriage. This will help in both. That's important. So I'm going to give you 15 characteristics of communication in a Christian marriage. Are you ready? And this is really going to help you. This will help you as a man and wife. This will help you on the job. This will help you in ministry. This will help you immensely. Number one. Nothing is more vital than clarity and continuance of communication. Nothing is more vital than clarity and continuance of communication. Could I have an amen, Miss Rachel? Nothing is more vital than clarity and continuance of communication. Now notice what I said, clarity and continuance. Meaning just because you communicated last year doesn't mean you're continuing to communicate. Whether that's in a ministry or in a marriage. And notice what also I said, clarity. We have to have clarity in communication. And we're going to talk about that as we walk through this. All right. Now, you're not going to probably have time to write all these things down. I'm going to have to share them quickly. And I will share this with you. None of these things will be on your test. However, they will probably be on your test in life. So, number one, nothing is more vital than clarity and continuance of communication. Secondly, assumption is the lowest form of communication. Assumption is the lowest form of communication. And I see people doing that all the time. Well, I just assume that Debbie meant this. Or I assume that Carrie meant this. Assumption is the lowest form of communication. Don't assume. Ask somebody. You know, someone says something to you and you assume that this is what they mean and you get your feelings hurt. But they didn't mean that at all. Assumption is the lowest form of communication. Amen. For example, say, particularly like a teacher or preacher walking up to a podium with a newspaper under his arm, and someone assumes that they're back there reading that. Just as a generic example, pulling it out of a hat, no truth to it, the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Are you with me on that? I'm teasing. So number two, assumption is the lowest form of communication. Thirdly, communication disarms the devil. Oh, is that an important thing in marriage or ministry? Communication disarms the devil. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21, the Bible says if your deeds are evil, you'll have a very difficult time coming to the light. But if your deeds are good, you'll have no difficulty coming to the light. I've always found that when Adam's messing up, he's always off in the bushes looking for a fig leaf. Are you with me on that? Now, there's a strong principle about that. If what you're doing is so wonderful, then you should not have any difficulty bringing it out in the open. Amen. That's imperative, and communication disarms the devil. Here's another nugget underneath that one, that the devil has a hard time hiding in a place called communication. Amen. That's a nugget the Lord gave me X amount of years ago. The devil has a hard time hiding in a place called communication. He really, really does, guys. And guys, the devil works overtime to sabotage important relationships, like a man and a wife, like between you and your pastor, like between you and a ministry friend. I see it all the time, guys. And so many times, you know, I have ministry friends all over the country, and so many times I find myself in a position being the one who is approaching the other because the other just assumes something and doesn't communicate. And it's not always fun being the only one communicating. We need to all work at this. Now, we can't have a victim's mentality, but I can start with you. I can take my frustration out on you. Could I have an amen? So we need to communicate. Could I have an amen? Let's bring it out in the open so that it disarms the devil. I remember one time when my wife and I, we were in Tulsa visiting Miss Ann's side of the family. And I remember one time just flipping through the TV, and they did not have any inappropriate shows. They did not have HBO or Showtime or any of those things. But they had one particular channel, and it wasn't a bad channel. All of a sudden, for some reason, I was just flipping through, from my understanding and assumption, there was no bad channels on this cable setting that they had, and from theirs too. Well, anyway, I was flipping through, and on accident, just as I was flipping through, I saw some partial nudity on the screen. Of course, I flipped it right away. But the first thing that I did, once I saw that, because I was by myself, I immediately went and communicated that to Miss Ann. And I said, honey, I want you to tell you what I saw, and I want you to pray for me. Because I don't want that little secret between me and the devil. I don't want that thought running around my mind all day long, and nobody knows about it but me and the devil. Can you see how that disarms the devil? Soon as I did that and was open about it and frank about it, then those thoughts stopped coming back to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I did the right thing with the channel flipper, flipped it right away, and I did the right thing with all of the thoughts. But they kept coming back because, you know, your mind is a picture show. That's how you do it. So I went to my wife, and communication disarms the devil. Could I have an amen? Do your very best as well to help your pastor so that he's not surprised by things. Could I have an amen? Communication disarms the devil. See, look in a preventative way and communicate ahead of time. I know, Dave Hagedorn, he communicated to me something ahead of time that I really appreciate him doing that. That's a wise man, praise God. Amen. You with me on that? Amen. Number four. In communication, the issue many times is not who's right, but making things right. That's imperative, whether ministry or in a marriage. In communication, the issue many times is not who's right, but making things right. And I see so many times, you know, we struggle with who's right as opposed to making things right. How many know that relationship is far more valuable than your opinion? How many know that relationships are far more valuable than your thought process here? Amen. So it's not just who's right, but making things right. Because see, that is primarily the biggest characteristic of the flesh, is self-preservation. Many times, rather than taking an honest look at ourselves, we have to self-preserve. Come on now, because we don't want to look bad. So the issue is not who's right, but making things right. And here's a great nugget. The resolution is the solution. So the issue is not, you know, the facts and on, although that obviously plays a part in it. But the resolution is the solution. In other words, making this thing right is the solution. Amen. So that's important as we understand communication in marriage or ministry. Are you with me? Amen. This is good, isn't it? Number five, in communication, remember the principle of perception. In communication, remember the principle of perception. Now, this is important. This will help you on your job. This will help you if you're a leader in business. This will help you in ministry or in marriage. Remember the principle of perception. Proverbs 18:17, the Bible says, one man comes and says something, and another man comes and sets the record straight. Meaning, the old proverbial thought, there's two sides to every story. Isn't that right? Let me tell you a story that I always tell, and I can't improve on. I just really like this story. One night, late at night, 3 a.m., there's a woman driving down a highway, barren highway, and all of a sudden, here comes this man speeding up on the other side and does the roll down your window motion. She rolls down her window. As soon as he does, the man yells at her, "Peg!" She gets mad and upset and a little bit afraid, guns the accelerator, runs right into a herd of pigs. You'll probably get this tomorrow. What she perceived was an insult. What he was trying to do was warn her. Oh, I got it now. Hey, are you with me on that? Just now, some of your little ferry boat men are just now swimming across the other side. Hey, all right. Can you see that? And it was perception. And so much of communication is based on perception. And so many times, now don't mistake me, in certain situations there is a right and there is a wrong. But in many cases, there are two rights through the glasses that the people are presently looking through. Can you see that? So remember that in communication, that is an imperative. Number six, in communication, how things are said are as important as what is being said. In communication, how things are said are as important as what is being said. Amen. Are you with me on that? Amen. I remember we had this is a great example. We had a couple years back, and some of you may remember her. We had an international student from Jamaica, and her name was Yuta. And we were talking about one day in class, you know, and listen, this is a great thing for your church to have and all that, but I'm just not a big fan of cantatas. That's my little, you know, you like cantatas, that's fine, and your church should have them. Everybody say, thank God for cantatas. But I'm just not a big fan of the cantatas. That's just me. Not you, just me. Not a big fan of the cantatas. All right? So I was sharing that one day in class. I said, hey, I'm not a big fan of the cantatas. And she said, Mr. Freeze, she says, that sounds like contention. And I was like, well, Miss Yuta, excuse me. I mean, this is my student here. And, and she's normally the most submissive young lady in the world. Well, she meant that the word cantata sounds like the word contention. That's what she meant. Can you see that? Because she's from another country. She didn't mean that what I was saying was strife-oriented. I'm trying to explain all these things for you now. You all getting this now? All right. And so what was happening was what she said and how she said it, there was a total different communication. Can you see that? So it's not just what is being said, but it's also how it is being said. Now, let me give you a fact here. This is imperative in communication. We understand this. Whatever message that we are giving across, 7%, only 7%, is content. In other words, as far as people, how they are perceiving it, any message that we give across, 7% is content. That's imperative that we understand this. 38% is tone, and 55% is nonverbal. In other words, how your facial expressions and your hand expressions and on and on. So 7% is content, 38% is tone, and 55% is nonverbal. Now that ought to tell you guys well over, what's that? 93% is other than just what is being said, just the words that are coming out of our mouth. And if we don't understand that, we're always going to be poor communicators. And if that's the case, we'll never have the power to lead. Can you see that? We have to combine the content, the intonation, and the nonverbal and put them all together to be an effective communicator. That's imperative. That is imperative that we understand that in communication. Can you see that? And then we'll finish with this one. This is important. In communication, talk until you understand each other. Talk until you understand the problem. And talk until you understand the solution. In communication, talk until you understand each other. Talk until you understand the problem. And talk until you understand the solution. My wife and I, my staff, we have that constantly before us. We will talk until we understand each other, talk until we understand the problem, and talk until we understand the solution. Because people are always more important than systems, guys. Amen. I'm not telling you to take 47 hours. There's times, you know, you have to set an appointment and do it at another time. And in talking till you understand the problem, please make sure you look for roots. Look for core issues. Look for roots. Jesus was real big on roots. Mark 11:23, you know, speak to the mountain, you know, Luke 17, where it says, speak of the sycamine tree, be thy plucked up and by the root, right? 1 Timothy chapter 6, where it says that, verse 10, where the love of money is the root of all evil, right? So Jesus was big on roots. He was big on going to the core issue. We seem to float around over here in superficial issues. So talk until you understand each other. Talk until you understand the problem. Talk until you understand the solution. That is an imperative in communication. Could I have an amen? We'll stop right there, and we're going to pick up the rest of these 15 characteristics of communication in a Christian marriage or in a marvelous ministry. We'll pick that up next time.
I trust you enjoyed this life-changing message. If you would like a copy of our tape catalog, if you're looking for a dynamic, life-changing home church in the Nashville, Tennessee area, if you would like information on having Pastor Jim Freese minister at your church or your ministry organization, or if you'd like more information on World Changers Bible Institute, whether you feel a call into the full-time ministry or the ministry of helps, or if you're simply looking for greater direction in your life, World Changers Bible Institute has a program designed specifically for you. Please write us here at Joy Church International and World Changers Bible Institute, Post Office Box 247, Mount Juliet, Tennessee, 37121, or call us at area code 615-773-5252. You can visit our websites at www.joychurchinternational.org and www.wcbi-fmi.org. Or you can email us at mail@wcbi-fmi.org. Always remember, as we say here at Joy Church International and World Changers Bible Institute, it's a choice to rejoice, and God loves you as if you're the only person in this world to love.